We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
Welcome in to the DNVR Draft Pod. Tis the season. Could not be more excited. Presented, as always, by High Plains Strains, the Northeastern Colorado dispensary. Natures of Colorado. Natures of Colorado. Presenting sponsor. You know them. Top quality cannabis. Mentioned DNVR. They will treat you right. Whew. Look at this. In studio with the boys, superstar producer Alyssa behind the sticks, and Big Hank, a Draft Pod OG, back with us in his element.
Yes.
Broncos insider now.
Wow. Yes.
Big Hank Broncos. This was a big get for us.
Well, that's good to hear.
Yeah.
You know, it's weird for the Broncos because usually you get to the draft and it's like, oh, This is like franchise defining. Like, what are they going to do?
Right.
And I'm not going to lie. Like, I don't have many strong feelings. If they want to go get a quarterback, cool. If they want to draft somebody, like, just do whatever. And this is kind of a dark note to start on, but they're kind of screwed regardless of what they do here. So I'm curious what you guys can come up with to fix them.
Right. Unless they just hit a homer and they fix everything with one pick. You never know. It could happen. As my favorite orphan from my favorite sports movie, Angels in the Outfield, is known to say, that's a good one, huh, J-Mike? J-Mike, how are you doing today?
I'm doing good, man. Excited to dive into it. Coming off of a big college basketball win, so I'm a little tired. But, you know, this is the season where you got to grind. We're following Senior Bowl. I got the East-West Shrine game tonight with three Rams in it. So it's time to lock in, but this is what it's all about.
Well, 32 in the net rankings now.
It's true.
One spot behind the Colorado Buffaloes,
but with one victory over them.
Jakester,
what's up?
It's our season.
I'm stoked.
Grind one-on-ones. So good.
It's just, it always brings me back to, you know, those first days when I started scouting and stuff, when we'd start doing the Senior Bowl watch-throughs and all that. I love this time of year. I'm excited.
Yeah. It really is the best. Lots of guys popping, lots of guys who could fit the Broncos and Sean Payton. But first, we're playing a game of fact or fiction, all related to the Senior Bowl and this here draft podcast. And we're going to start with you, J. Mike.
Ooh.
Quinyon Mitchell, fact or fiction, the Toledo cornerback after the Senior Bowl is now a top two corner in this here draft class.
Yeah, I mean, he was my riser last week that I shouted out of who I thought was going to like really kind of take a leap this week. He was already getting plenty of love, so it's not like a victory lap or anything like that.
But late first love.
Yeah, but I think he has a chance to be cornerback one. So there's not a corner that's, if you look at the film, that's more consistently aggressive. I mean, he's got 45 pass deflections over the last 3 years.
Insane.
37 of them over the last 2 seasons. I just think if you're putting a corner opposite of a guy like PS2, especially from Denver's perspective, he makes a lot of sense. And especially just with some of the corners that have had success these last couple of years in the first round, I think he kind of fits that mold, aggressive in coverage. Yeah, he might get, you know, handsy every now and then, might pick up a PI flag, but he's not scared to attack the ball. And I just think that's really appealing in these modern, you know, offenses.
Super against the modern offenses. Yeah. Super aggressive. And when you flash like this in one-on-ones, you're going to get that type of hype. Fact or fiction, Jake?
I think it's a fact. I think Terrion Arnold is pretty solidified as CB1 at this point.
My guy.
But okay. Quinyon Mitchell is coming up, man. He's had a great Senior Bowl. I loved watching him in one-on-ones. He was getting after the ball. He was getting in position constantly. He's got the frame. He's got great production, probably the best production we've seen.
Yeah.
From a corner, especially at the G5 level.
At the G5 level, for sure.
Yeah, he's a massive riser. Great call by Justin.
We talked about him in a William Jackson comp, right? The former Houston guy who went round one to the Bengals way back when. Hank, you want to answer this one? Though, for you, I'm more interested in too rich for the Broncos at 12. Because if we're talking about him in as a top two cornerback, that's kind of the range you're talking about.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, Terrion Arnold, if he's there, yeah. I mean, that's obviously not too rich. Those stats, like, if we're talking about stats, you guys have probably said this before, but this season, 12 pass breakups, 5 picks, 6.5 tackles for loss, a sack, a forced fumble, that stat line also just, like, pops. If he's there, you can get behind that. Like I said, like, I don't think that right now there's a clear-cut path for the Broncos. You know, kind of depends on what they do in free agency. Yep. I don't think they're forced to get a quarterback. Yep. If they decide they're not getting a quarterback, then sure, like, second best corner could make sense. You look at the other positions, you know, some tackles could be around there. You'd have to do something crazy, like make like a draft day trade to then move on from Garrett Bowles to clear space, pick up more picks. I do think that if you're just looking at what positions would make sense, cornerback, even if it's not the top one on the board, definitely could be in play at 12.
To go against the grain, I'll go fiction. I think it's too early to say right now. It's a deep group, the two Bama guys, Nate Wiggins out of Clemson. Mitchell certainly is part of this tier. But as we know with the corners, it's all about the 40s.
Yeah, I mean, he's going to have to run well. Kool-Aid is going to run really well. You know,
dude,
Terrion Arnold
Wiggins
will run
might
well.
Fly.
Wiggins is going to be insane.
He'll probably be the fastest.
No, he's light too, right? So there's some of like Emmanuel Forbes last year was 170 pounds. The Mizzou guys are in the mix. You know, it's slowly but surely a deeper cornerback class. And that's where, you know, how's the Georgia kid, Kamari Lassiter.
Yep. All good.
Oh, I struggle with the name so much. But yeah, I think it might be premature, but this kind of buzz coming out of Mobile, huge.
It's interesting how much playing time a lot of these corners have had. It's not like 1 or 2 year sample sizes with quite a few of these dudes. It's 2-3 years.
Yeah. 30 games played for Quinyon Mitchell.
I like that.
Henry.
Yes.
This one's for you.
Oh boy.
Fact or fiction, the Broncos' next QB is in Mobile. Now, because it's phrased like this, and Jake wrote this one, the Broncos' next QB, we really are talking about Michael Penix and Bo Nix.
Yeah.
Michael Pratt, sure, maybe they draft a guy like that.
Sam Hartman.
Right.
Yeah.
Spencer Rattler. Hard to say that those guys are also going to be the Broncos' next. That would be a double hot take within this beautiful game of fact
that
or fiction.
Really would
which
be.
Actually is buy or sell I'm seeing right now. So buy or sell is what I meant.
Oh wow.
buy or sell.
Either way, same thing. Boy. Same thing.
Oh, we're good. We're good at this.
Oh boy. I'll buy it.
Yeah?
Yep, I'll buy it. I think Bo Nix is probably most likely.
Wow.
I mean you look at what they could do this offseason. Oh yeah. Nobody's excited. I guess I don't know like the full Bo Nix vibe. I know at least one of them. I'm not super excited about it. But yeah, I mean, I do think that when you look at what's going to happen, if they draft I think it's more likely they draft a quarterback than sign a quarterback just based on the options that are available. And I think if they draft a quarterback, it's more likely that they can't get up to a top 3 pick to go get one of the big three, and so they're stuck in this tier, even if they trade up to 8 to go get one of these guys. J.J. McCarthy's kind of like the wrench in here. Mm-hmm. It might be a bad decision. It might be going against the odds to say buy, but I do think I'm willing to do it. I'll buy it. I'll take that one of these guys is on the roster.
Wow.
I'll do it. Yeah.
Wow. I'm shook.
Because Penix has a chance there, too.
Penix is the range. Penix is in range.
Mm-hmm. Penix, I mean, the other thing is, like, I wouldn't be surprised if Bo Nix, like, do they trade in the second round for him? Michael Penix, is he there in the third for him? Like, when you look at some of these rankings, I know we want to get into DJs, and DJ ranked those guys a little bit higher, but you look at most of the mock drafts, at the very least, like Kuiper, Brugler, DJ, they say, like, these guys probably shouldn't be first-round picks, but a team will probably reach, and I think all of them had one of those second tier going in the first round and the rest falling.
Mm-hmm. Wow, that's lots to think about.
You asked a big question.
I did.
These guys the next Broncos quarterback? That's a big question.
It's true.
I think I'm going to go fact two.
Wow.
I think just what Hank said, the money situation, not only between Russ, but just where you're at up against the cap, man, would make it more sense to draft a quarterback this year. They've met with some of these guys. I know at least Michael Pratt. They've talked about that. But look, we've talked about Penix a lot. He's out there slinging the thing like he usually does, man. It's, again, just the age and injury concerns that we're going to have to talk about. The
talent is there. There are some Drew Brees comparisons.
I mean,
there are. People have said it.
How did you phrase it? Did you phrase it is going to be the ace on the roster or is going to like actually start a game for the Denver Broncos?
The Broncos' next quarterback.
Implying he's the guy.
What does next quarterback mean to you?
Well, week one, it could be.
Well, I mean, it's a bit of a in the eye of the beholder.
Well, yeah, could I see a situation where like a Michael Pratt is on the roster? Do I think any of these guys are going to be under center playing a game for the Denver Broncos over the next 2 years? I'm going to say fiction.
Oh, that's probably the best bet by the numbers.
Yeah, I'm selling too. There's the JJ factor in all of this. Bo Nix terrifies me. As I have mentioned, I do just think with all that he was experimenting with in New Orleans, that Sean Payton will be very focused on going with a running quarterback, and Bo Nix fits that. JJ surely fits that. Penix less so.
Bo does feel like, if you were going to say, who would be out of these guys, who would feel like the most Sean Payton pick, it would be Bo by a lot.
Right. Like, he literally could win seven games with Taysom Hill. What's he going to do with Bo Nix?
Just knowing, like, if you're a guy like Payton, especially after this whole experience with Russ, so I could just design a system and I'm just going to be like, this is what you're going to do. And you do it, and as long as he executes it, like he would be fine with that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's true. I mean,
like yes. He has proven, like yes. If you put him in a position where you scheme it open, quick reads, like he could put him in that spot. But you know, the great question that we've raised for 2-3 years now is just: do these throws translate? Mm-hmm. Does anything we've seen at Oregon matter at all, or is it all window dressing?
So that's
to me, it's his raw talent. Is that going to translate?
I don't know.
Because that works if you're like Jalen Hurts talented.
Right? Or even J.J. McCarthy.
Mm-hmm.
To me, JJ, do you think J.J.'s talent translates?
I think the physical ability. Yeah, I think his arm, without a doubt. It's just, can you? We haven't seen you have to make the reads enough to trust that you're going to be able to do it.
Yeah, mm-hmm. It's true.
The thing with Bo Nix, though, is especially just this last 2 years with Russ, kind of athletically limited. With Bo Nix, you're opening the whole offense up. You can move him around a ton. You can even run him if you wanted to.
Mm-hmm. Oh, you can run him a bunch.
So I don't know. We'll see how much that intrigues Sean Payton, because it does kind of feel like he was getting to that, especially in New Orleans.
Yes, 100%. And I think Sean's intrigued by the top three. Which is,
well, we know he loves Caleb Williams. I mean, he's
all the rage this week. Yeah.
I know. It's like some random guy really says. The top three. Yeah, exactly. It's like they might consider it. Everybody thinks. Yeah.
As Hank said, probability wise, I'm going with the what feels more likely, which is the no. I'll take the field versus these two.
Sometimes I'll see Bo Nix just like there'll be like a screen pass. It'll be like a defender. I'll like drop the arm down and sling it out there, and then I'm like, yes, that does look nice, but also like, you're not that, like, you're not, like, you're not as cool as you seem to think you are. Like, you know, it's not, there's part of that vibe to him, to me, that I can't explain it, but it's just a little bit off, off-putting even.
The one thing I will give Bo Nix is he got so much better as he went through his college career. You can't ignore that fact.
Oh, my gosh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, we should all have 8 years in school to improve.
Well, that's the other side of the coin there.
Yeah, I mean, he had two cracks at the apple.
Yeah. He did.
Bad at Auburn, rejuvenated career at Oregon.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Very nice. I'm going to have to dig right back into Bo Nix. It's time to reevaluate, right?
It is.
Yep. Mentality. Do the, like, watch Bo Nix, feeling like I've never seen him before.
Exactly.
We'll try.
It's really
we'll
hard for me to let go of Auburn Bo Nix.
It's very hard. It's
because
very
I watched a lot of that football, and it's just, yes, what I saw at Oregon was not the same deal, but also at Auburn when he was the guy and you didn't have the restraints, man, it was a lot of running around with your head cut off and just kind of hoping that, like, he can pull something out of his ass.
Even at Oregon, like, I remember there was a Buffs game.
Two years ago,
okay, you were covering
yes.
it, where he does, like, he's running the opposite direction, is getting tackled, and literally threw it behind his head, like he was a bride at a wedding throwing the bouquet.
It sounds like Josh Allen. That's what that sounds like, because it sounds like a young Josh Allen.
Yeah, a little bit, but Josh is bigger than a lot of the edge rushers he's going against.
I do think there's a Mahomes effect on that, though, where guys are like, because he does the whole non-mechanic throws off balance, sidearm, oh, I'm falling out of bounds. I'm one Josh Allen. I'm 1 yard away from the sideline, but I can rip it and they can do it. And so all these guys are like,
get away with
oh, I can do it, too. And it's like, no, you're not Patrick Mahomes. Set your feet.
I know.
Like,
get back to basics.
Yeah,
it's like off balance threes in the NBA. It's like, look,
you know what's better? When you set your feet.
Right. Just get your feet under you, please. You know what? We're going to take a super quick break because this next one might be spicier yet.
Oh, no.
But first, Justin's going to tell you about our dearest of friends.
Shout out to the homies over at Breckenridge Brewery. They have been with us since the very beginning. There's no better way to do anything than having an ice cold Breck brew in hand. 33 years they've been doing this, and it all comes down to their Broncos love and passion for making good beer. They are as Colorado as it gets. They rep the Broncos. They rep the Nuggets. They rep the Slopes. You know, check them all out. The Fun Slinger. It's fun to say. It's fun to drink. You can't go wrong with the good company. Hard seltzer, Mountain Beach sour, a little taste of summer in the winter. Check out that Breck beer locator at breckbrew.com to find a brew near you. And of course, we got to tell you about Natures of Colorado. They are our presenting sponsor, and they are the premier dispensary out in northeastern Colorado. They provide an amazing grade of cannabis, a vast variety of products. Check them out for all your needs. They've got infused edibles, high-potency concentrates, and, of course, some of the best flower in the state. Their locations include Log Lane Village, Garden City, Sedgwick, and Milliken. If you are in northeastern Colorado, they are the dispo for you. Order online at naturescolorado.com. Stay cozy in your car and pick up conveniently through their drive-thru. We're living in the future, people. You don't even have to get out of your car. Visit their location, mention our code DNVR in store or in the drive-thru to take advantage of our great deals. You can get a $99 ounce every day there, which is already a great deal. But if you use the code DNVR, you can get a full ounce of any shelf for $85, which is an absolute steal. Exquisite extracts, 2 grams bucket for $15. Remember to use that code DNVR or mention DNVR in stores.
Milliken. Does that sound more like a Big Ten offensive lineman or like an FCS fullback?
FCS fullback.
Yeah.
Milliken, that dude's going for 450 yards on the ground with like 15 catches as they upset Hank's Montana team.
And he wears a neck roll.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Big time neck roll on Milliken.
Yeah.
You like that, Hank?
Sure. I actually didn't know that name until you said that and it brought me back. Sure.
Go Grizz.
There you go. Yeah. Go Grizz. Hank hates it when I call FCS country what is like an entire subdivision of football that's played in the entire nation.
Yeah.
But, you know, I think of FCS country as like the Montanas and the Dakotas.
It's because they dominate.
They do.
They're the best teams.
That's like FCS.
Youngstown State had their run back in like the '90s.
They did.
The William and Mary. James Madison had their run more recently.
Yep. Now they up.
Got Sam Houston. Like App State, but they're like you've had like some teams, but it always comes back to Montana
to and me, now the Dakotas. FCS country is Missouri and North. Like, it's all you know. It's the Dakotas. It's but it's not like. Because in the South, you're paying attention to the SEC. In the Midwest, you know, you got the Big Ten or you got, you know, the Big 12 if you're in Oklahoma and stuff. But as soon as you start getting into, like, you know, the Michigan areas and then you start working your way west through the Dakotas and all of that, that's where we get to the good old God's country.
That's because they, like, they run it like a big pro. Like, if you're in Alabama and you're Nick's, not Nick Saban, you're you used to be Nick Saban, then what were you doing trying to win at Alabama? You start by getting the best players from Alabama, and then you get the best players from the rest of the country. That's like generally the recruiting. But when you go up to Montana, it's the same thing. It's like you get all the best kids in Montana because they're typically not talented enough to leave anyway. And so you hold them in, and then you go outside. When you look at, like, I don't even know, like a James Madison, they have to, like, they get like the leftovers after like the big schools. Mm-hmm. And so you get up there, it's like, that's what it's all about. That's
you have
like
more
big
of
time.
An identity, which is nice.
Totally. Yeah. And more fans.
And guys that are embracing the program. Whereas like, if you land at like a James Madison, the reality is it's like, well, I was being recruited by Utah State and then they pulled the offer late, ended up at JMU. Whereas like, if you're a Montana kid, hell yeah. Or like, the Grizz. Anyways, we got
Northern Colorado.
Let's bring it back on track.
Discovering America for you from the draft pod.
We'll do America.
5 minutes every week. Eastern Washington, good call off from the chat.
They used to be good.
This buy or sell goes to you first, Jake.
Okay.
An incendiary one. Roman Wilson, Michigan star wide receiver.
Yep.
He's looked good at the Senior
Bowl.
He's
been balling.
His success in Mobile suggests that J.J. McCarthy won't be successful in the NFL.
So
thus implying that he's playing better now than he was at Michigan, and J.J. was the problem.
Yeah. Here's the thing. What Roman's been doing in Mobile that I think has been so impressive is just getting off the line and gaining separation. That's all you can ask for from your wide receiver. Yeah. And J.J. hit him a lot of times, but just looking at him at the Senior Bowl, I couldn't help but feel like he could have done more. So I'm probably going to lean a little fact on this. But JJ is just so young. I don't think we really know what he's going to be.
I'll go fiction here. AJ Barner, the tight end, out there just dropping everything. Counteracted. Yes, the receiver's good. Tight end not good.
That's a great point. Honestly, I think they're all impacted by it's a passing game that lacked complete rhythm. Like, when you throw it 40 times a game at Washington, you're going to get in a better rhythm than when you throw it 17 times in a game at Michigan.
I just have a hard time with JJ because I don't think we've remotely seen him in a position of what he'll be expected to do. And I think he has all the physical tools in the world. But I'm with you. It's like I think one of the hardest things in sports as being a sixth man that comes off the bench and cashes threes because you've been sitting there, you know, you're on the bench, you're not in the rhythm of the game. You're only going to get, you know, 15 minutes, probably a playing time. So you have to make the most of them. It's really hard to be that guy that comes in and just, oh, I'm already in rhythm. And when you're a quarterback and you hand it off 18 times in a row against Iowa and you only have to throw 10 times to win, like there just weren't very many instances where he had to be the guy. If I was going to go the other way, I'll say I think I saw enough in like the 2 minute situation against Alabama going down the hill where it's all right, that's the closest situation to what you're going to be doing in the NFL. I liked what you did, but we just haven't seen a lot of it.
And speaking of the FCS, kind of similar to some Trey Lance vibes where, you know, not asked to do a lot, a whole bunch of running, didn't throw the ball a whole bunch vibes. And then there's also like, well, the 28 touchdowns, zero interceptions,
played
like, yes, that
more,
was cool
though.
But also like, I mean, it's kind of easy to do there. No offense to anybody. Like
twice as many games and probably pass attempts compared to Trey Lance.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely more pass attempts. But it's just that thing where it's like, hey, he's a super young guy and talented and like he's done what you could ask of him.
All I'll say is when I watch JJ tape, I feel like there's a lot of instances where Roman Wilson's letting him down. Mm-hmm. And again, I'm willing to excuse it because it's like, yeah, I mean, shit, these guys haven't like thrown to each other for half a quarter. Like, yeah, they're not going to be in super rhythm right now.
It's one of the tougher evals I feel like we've had these last couple
tough,
years.
Yeah. It's a very tough eval.
Because you could totally talk me into, like, if you just pulled up, like, JJ's 10 best throws, especially some of the stuff on the move,
1,000%,
the zip in the red zone. Like, he has these moments where you're like, all right, he ripped that.
Yep.
And then he has moments where it's like he misses a little out route, and you're just like, okay, but is that because he can't do it, or is it just like one of those where it's, I'm just not in rhythm, and it's the three-point analogy I'm making. He's just, he needs a couple of reps to get it going.
And then so you watch his like 10 best throws, and then you watch like Jaden Daniels' 10 best throws. You'll be like, well, these they aren't even playing the same game. Yeah. Like JJ's going to like fake a handoff from under center, roll out, hit somebody. Like Jaden Daniels, it's just like spread. You're just like flinging it all over the place. And same thing with most of these guys. And so...
Oh, and Bo Nix is going to be like, what's... This guy's playing forward pass rugby? Like, what's going on right now?
Caleb Williams, half of them are just going to be RPOs.
Yep.
Like, you have to like the fact that he comes from kind of a pro-style offense, but it is totally different than all the other quarterbacks.
Yeah. I like that he can go under center, since like most 19-year-olds can't even do it anymore.
I honestly think he's... It's a similarly tough eval to what CJ Stroud was last year. Where, like, there was so much NFL talent on there. All those games are supposed to be a blowout except for two on the entire schedule.
Yep.
And so it's really hard to dial in on who's the real CJ. Like, if you believe...
the downfield throws with Stroud, you never doubted that.
No, no doubt. But it's, I mean, you didn't doubt that with Dwayne Haskins either. You know?
Yeah. Or like Mac these Jones receivers are wide open.
Yeah, exactly.
It's a good point.
Buy or sell... Jordan Morgan, I thought, one of the big losers in Mobile before we even stepped on the practice field. Arizona's star left tackle actually spoke glowingly of him on the last show. 6'5", 312, I think. So really good size. But the arm length is below 33 inches, 32 inches. Skoronski is the only offensive tackle prospect in recent history that I can remember having that short of arms. Will Jordan Morgan's arm length drop him out of the top 50 picks? Justin.
Fiction. I'm going to say he barely stays in, but I think it's because even with the shorter arms, I like how he translates as a guard. I think worst case he can play, but I don't know if he's going to be a tackle.
Go ahead, Jake.
I'm same thing. I think that he's one of the better offensive linemen overall in this class. Of course, most of his stuff has been at left tackle, so there's going to be some, you know, can he make the conversion inside or whatever. Yeah. But he is what he is.
What was Slater's arm length a couple years ago? Because isn't this the same debate we had about Rashawn Slater?
He was at least at 33 inches.
It says, 33 exactly for him.
Mm-hmm. Henry?
I'll say fact. Nobody wants a short arm lineman.
Nobody wants a short arm tackle.
Yeah, it just
you just don't. You just don't. You know who especially doesn't want those guys?
Sean Payton.
I knew it was one of the three of us.
Yeah.
It's kind of turning out to be like a big deep offensive line class, and I think that's kind of the kicker for me. Is that it's not there are enough options there that have long arms that I just don't think I'd mess with it at that point. And who knows? Maybe they all fly off the board. Maybe you get like Flashanu and all these guys just go off of the top 12 and all of a sudden back half the first round. Maybe they start creeping up. Mm-hmm. But I'll say fact. I think there's just too many options there for somebody to take that gamble.
Good point.
Yeah, I think he drops off too. Things can change. We're only like in the first third, maybe even first quarter of draft season.
Maybe his arms will grow.
So we've got, I mean... Arms won't grow, but could a scout get it wrong at the pro day and all of a sudden we have like discern? I've seen that. Combine Senior Bowl don't match up.
Yep.
That'd be huge for this guy. I think he has to be moved to left guard at this point. He's too big to be a center. Right guard, he's not that kind of powerful mauler, so that doesn't fit. So it's a bit limited to just be a left guard with maybe some options to be an emergency short-armed offensive tackle for you. One note I had was the American O-lineman, where there's the Missouri kid who's really impressive. Yep. Patrick Paul, who's massive out of Houston. Guyton, who obviously is probably the top O-line. They look so much bigger and more like, oh, yeah, this is the kind of size I need at the NFL level than the other guys, where even Fuaga from Oregon State, like, he's played really well.
Yeah.
He came in with sub-34-inch arms, and I'm kind of like, if you're going to be a dominant, mauling, run-blocking right tackle, I kind of need you to have that, like, bury your ass in the ground, be a bully-type length. Mm-hmm. If you don't have that, it's going to hurt a little. So that's where I'm at with that one. We'll run through these last couple and then give some other winners and losers. Given his short arms, also 32-inch arms, it's Leetu Latu, the UCLA edge rusher, no longer a top 15 lock. Jake, we'll start with you. He's been one of your guys.
Yeah, top 15 in that case, I'll say it's a fact that he won't be there anymore. I do think he's one of the better all-around pass rushers. Just
so
in
you
terms
say he is a top 15 lock.
He isn't a top 15
fact
lock.
Fact, he isn't, yes.
Fact, he isn't. Yes. Okay, good, good, good.
He's just got a great arsenal of pass rush moves. Yeah. I think he's got some of the best bend in the class, especially of these top end guys. Yeah. And he's just, all he does is produce. I mean, I can't get the Colorado game out of my head where he just took over this last year.
I know.
Boy, have we seen that before.
No. Well, true.
What happened with Drake Jackson? He hasn't done much.
Oh, yeah.
Destroyed Colorado back in the day, though.
San Francisco, right?
Yeah, San Francisco. So buried behind Randy Gregory, Chase Young, Nick Bosa. Yeah,
that's hard
still
to break
might
through.
Be pretty good. But yeah, I'll say fact, he's not a lock for the top 15. I mean, the kicker here is the neck thing where, I mean, if he really is just good to go and the neck injury that forced him to medically retire is no longer an issue, then sure, I guess he fits in there. But still in my head, I can't get it out. And if I'm Sean Payton or George Payton or any executive, it's like, this guy literally is medically retired from football. I'm not sure that this is who I want to invest in. Like, well, that just is really concerning. Throw in, like, short arms, whatever else. Like, I think he was kind of fringe anyway, but lock for top 15, no. He's not.
I feel like a month ago we would have been like, man, if he dropped to 12, we would be hyped. And now feels like, if he drops at 12, you kind of know why.
I like him a lot, man. I don't know.
Oh, I mean,
okay.
I like his looking bend. Good in practice, too, right?
I think... I just don't know if I care as much for the edge as I would on a tackle, just given, like, yes, that is a factor. You know, you don't want guys to be able to get your hands on it and just be stuck. But, like, with how versatile he is, with how quick his first step is, it doesn't bother me as much. I think, like Hank said, the neck thing, I think, would worry me more. So I might say he's not going to go top 15.
Yeah.
But I will say I don't think it's because of the arm length. I think it would just be is he going to hold up?
To Hank's point the neck, though, I mean,
it was an issue this year.
No, but I'll bring up Jalen Phillips. Remember when we talked about him coming out of Miami, how he medically retired too? He had I think it was more head injuries for him rather than neck. But he's turned into a great NFL player. I know he got hurt this year, but I mean, there's a pathway for these guys who have, I guess, medically retired and come back, or some guys.
It's crazy because, I mean, Washington and UCLA have, like, some of the best medical schools in, like, the country. And so I would imagine the medical staffs there are pretty good. And so to go from one spot and medically retire to another who say, like, we think you're A-okay and good to go back, your neck looks fine to us, like, that to me is strange. Also, like, the whole process, maybe this is out there, but I'd be curious, like, did he medically retire, hit the portal, UCLA reaches out and says, like, hey, we'd love to have you if our doctor, like, it's just a very weird to go through all the steps to being medically cleared and on a new football team. Somebody's going to write a good story about that.
Could they get him in the third?
See, just the way we're talking about him.
That's a medical red shirt that could really drop all of a sudden, huh?
Well, yeah, the way we're talking about
him. Red flag.
He sounds like a guy that's going to drop pretty far.
No kidding.
Think someone's getting a steal.
Me too.
Yeah, I'm about it. Another edge rusher who's really flashed is Darius Robinson out of Missouri. Was actually top five in the SEC in tackles for a loss. This graduate senior at Mizzou. He's a guy I think we mentioned a few times when previewing
Mizzou games. And that's the factor of fiction. Is Darius Robinson this year's Keon White, the Georgia Tech kind of hybrid edge stand, you know, hand in the ground, mm-hmm. end, maybe more natural five tech.
Yeah.
Who, gosh, in two practices at the Senior Bowl last year, shut it down and then was a top 50 pick for the Patriots in the mm-hmm. second round. A guy who reminds me a lot of production wise, a half sack less than Jared Verse, 2.5 tackles mm-hmm. for a loss more. Mm-hmm. His production in the SEC, very comparable to all the top edge rushers in this class. And I will answer this question. I say fiction, and it's because he's not this year's Keon White. He's like this year's Marcus Davenport, mm-hmm. another guy yeah. who came to the Senior Bowl and went from being a guy who was in the day two mix to like a top 15 pick.
Yep.
And by the way, a guy who Sean Payton mm-hmm. drafted up to go get.
And who is now a free agent again with a very extensive medical history.
Did not pan out, yes.
But, I mean, Sean Payton, you never know.
Yep.
Yeah. Cy, I mean.
He's what they need.
Freak.
The Broncos, a team that couldn't stop the run to save their fucking life.
Well, yep. And I love him on the inside. Yep. Right?
I do too.
Like, you've seen him at the Senior Boys practice, inside reps, outside reps. Inside reps, whatever. But, like, a guy who's, like, in the 6'4", 6'5", range, 290 pounds. We talk about it all the time. There's not that many, like, first-round interior defensive linemen.
Yep.
I just like his versatility. Like, I think, I don't know if, like, you're not going to put him at a three technique or anything like that, yeah, but right. he doesn't have that type of size. But for, he's one of those dudes that's, what is he, 6'5", 296? Yeah, 296.
He's huge.
He looks bigger than that, though.
Yeah.
It's all muscle.
Mm-hmm.
It's not, you know, like, and he has, he's explosive mm-hmm. off the snap. He's really physical. He throws dudes around. He's one of those dudes that'll throw you and then explode and make the tackle mm-hmm. in the back. Like, he's not, he doesn't just have to be a guy that's, you know, eating up space so other people can make plays. He can do it all. That Missouri team, I mean, they were just fun to watch in general between their offense and defense. Like, it was one of the more fun stories in college football. But,
mm-hmm.
yeah, I'm with you. I think he's a guy that's going to go a lot higher than what we were talking about a month ago.
Mm-hmm. He's been balling. All these Missouri guys have been balling. I'm going to read a tweet here. This is from Brett Coleman, mm-hmm. YouTuber. He said, for those that are curious, here are Darius Robinson's pass rush win rates from different alignments. From 3-4-I, 13%. From 5-6, 18.8%. Wider than that, 19.1%. Then he goes, so to me, he's a 6'5", 290-pound five tech that can play edge and nickel looks just for fun. That's the J.J. Watt profile.
Yeah. That's a nutty comp.
It's a nutty comp, but, I mean, in terms of the
freak
player.
Body, yeah. like, yeah, yeah. being totally. Versatile, I get it, but, and, yeah.
I mean, we got to remember, J.J. was not some dominant force at Wisconsin. He was more a flashy yes. upside guy for the Badgers.
So I'll say fiction.
And then turned into, you know.
J.J. Watt.
Yeah.
Yeah. I haven't watched him play, but you've sold me. I'll say fiction. He is not Keon White. He sounds even better. And I love Keon White.
I love it. Let's get into a couple quick winners from Senior Bowl week.
No, go ahead.
Oh. Did I cut you off?
No.
Oh, I just thought some flack about me in the comments.
Yeah. Oh, I kind of assumed that was like a story from the Broncos pod.
No, I've never gone to Hobby Lobby. I've never eaten crayons.
Oh,
but that kinda sounds like could see how you connect the dots.
Kind of sounds like something Baby Andre would do. I famously, in my stroller in the Louvre once, chewed up a postcard of the Mona Lisa, then stuck it up my nose.
Well, at least it wasn't the real thing.
That's right. Yeah. That would have been an international incident right there.
Yeah, you wouldn't be here right now.
Sure would have.
Nice little flex. You've been to the Louvre.
Yeah, that's right. As a baby.
Even ate a postcard.
Been again since. Yeah, postcard. Not a fan. Okay. Justin, a winner? We'll go. Ooh. We each can do a winner at a time. A loser if we want.
I like Guyton, tackle.
He's been impressive.
I mean, Quinyon Mitchell is my guy, but Oklahoma, I want right to give tackle. Something else. So, yeah, I like him a lot. I think he'll be in the Denver mix, especially if they potentially trade back a couple of spots, like 16, 17. That feels prime.
He's such a fascinating case as a guy who's almost exclusively played as a right tackle.
doesn't have a ton of starts to his name. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, he's got jersey swag off the charts. He looks the part.
Yeah.
And not just looks like, again, come jersey swag. Like, he just is so steady, balanced, such a nice mix of, like, length, strength, balance. And the upside is...
Shouldn't be so fluid if you're that big and lanky.
Yeah.
Like, he looks like a guy who, like, oh, he took some ballet dances and it was gorgeous. Like, I could see him being that nimble. And I know it's like, I'm making a joke here, obviously, but like, it's just when you see somebody big, that long, you're just like, how are you so smooth with everything?
Mm-hmm.
Like, dude looks like he could be a ballroom dancer too.
For sure. Mm-hmm. He's been impressive, no doubt. Jake?
I don't think there's been any more impressive player than Tavondre Sweat.
Yeah.
He is dominating.
Yeah, there was an early rep where Lemur, the Arkansas center, gets him on the ground. And I like, in my living room, was like, whoa.
Yeah. On the other end, Lemur is a guy who's really impressed me also. Yes.
He also, on day two, Sweat, like, literally took Lemur and put him in the quarterback.
But he's the only one, I think, that Sweat really struggled to go against.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You guys mentioned Christian Haynes before, the guard from UConn.
Yeah.
Yes. That guy's a monster.
Yes.
There's like big belly vibes right there.
Yep.
Where you show up, you're a massive guy, and nobody gets by you. Worthy of a shout out for sure. I think I've recently discovered my type at receiver. And I think I've kind of been, I didn't realize this about myself, but I didn't really have a type. Everybody's like, oh, the speed guy, like get downfield. And I think everybody's in love with that. And I've always kind of not liked that all that much because it just feels kind of lame. The big guys. I really like just big-bodied receivers. And so these are two very homer picks, but Luke McCaffrey, I was like, okay, Luke McCaffrey's going to go out there. Like, it's a McCaffrey. You got to invite him, that sort of stuff. Then I watched him. I was like, oh, he's big. He's strong. He's physical. Yeah, he'll catch some balls. And so I think maybe it was just me putting him in a box as like a McCaffrey who gets like a token invite. But no, he actually looks like he could be a legitimate receiver. And I mentioned this upstairs. He kind of pulls the jersey up. Like the way he kind of like moves, it's like he's really trying to look like Ed McCaffrey, which is a good marketing choice on his part as a receiver who kind of is built that way. But I was impressed. Also, Brendan Rice, former CU guy who I was telling Dre, I've done like a 720 on him. He went to Colorado. I was like, oh, this guy's sick. Like 6'4", 6'5", big, fast. Jerry Rice's bloodlines. Like you love all those things. Goes and plays, makes a couple plays. But for the most part, you're like, eh. Not that good. Goes to USC. Doesn't really get on the field. This year, gets out there. I didn't realize. So I went back through the Caleb Williams tape. He's a monster. Like, he's big. He isn't always the best separator. But, like, if you want, like, somebody to run a curl for you, he'll sit down in that curl and bang. Nobody's getting by him. And he's doing that stuff at the Senior Bowl, too. Even that downfield, like, it's not separating, but it's just kind of holding guys off and getting the ball.
Yep.
Those two guys I've really enjoyed watching.
Same with Johnny Wilson in that mold.
Yeah. Too. Yeah, he isn't.
Johnny getting a lot of hate, though. Lots of drops.
I get it, but you just watch him out there and run. It's like this guy just has position every play. Like,
yeah, he's huge.
Yeah.
So massive.
Just huge. He's really fun to watch. And there's some where like guys will like wrap around, he'll use his arms to reach out. And you're like,
yeah,
you should not have gotten that one. But again, like there's the drops, and it's like you should have gotten that one. So they kind of balance out, but he's fun.
I found Javon Foster out of Missouri, their left tackle, extremely impressive.
Yes.
A guy who in the SEC has only allowed one sack. He's one of the big boys at offensive tackle, like just size wise. 6'5", like 309, and his arms were 34 plus, I think 35 inch actually. And when you have that kind of resume against the SEC, you bet your ass I'm going to be watching him against Georgia, Tennessee, and all the big dogs he had on the schedule. Mizzou, obviously, so impressive this past year. And I think a guy like this, who was also team captain, is a big reason why. So two Mizzou guys with stock up. And Robinson and Foster for me at, you know, premium position. So
Chris, when you go watch Missouri
in the trenches, like it was significant. That's what jumped out right away with them this year, where you're like, oh no, like they really could be a factor in this SEC race because you watch the way they're able to run the ball against these other fronts. In the
trenches, they were just
different. It was unreal.
Yeah. And as you mentioned, they've got some corners too.
Chris Abrams Drain also had a nice wingspan. Week.
Yeah, I agree.
Really nice.
I agree.
He's just rocking like a third grader.
Yeah. Nuts.
That's insane.
What if instead of like running like the whole like trying to pass rush off the edge stuff, they just had like the tackle and the edge rushers like compare arms and winner gets his way.
Sounds amazing.
Yeah.
You better have those arms stacked up pregame.
Yeah, exactly.
If we're
start
talking
stretching out the shoulder a little bit,
if we're talking arms. Patrick Paul from Houston.
Yeah, he's massive.
He is ginormous.
Yeah.
And he's kind of got what Justin was talking about with the guy earlier, where it's like, how are you so smooth that big? He measured in at 6'7", 333. He's got 36 2/8-inch arms.
Mm. Yeah.
Love him, man.
Dude's an F-250 nuts. Out there.
He is, yeah. I love him.
And these are the guys who Sean Payton, that's his
that's
team.
Him. Yeah.
That's Parcells to a T. Mm-hmm. And unlike Guyton, who's more of a right tackle, if you're looking for a future solution at left tackle, Foster, Paul.
And they kind of have to have that, right? Like,
yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
We're kind of to that point now with Bowles where it's like, do you recommit and hope that he's able to even touch that 2 years ago? Yeah. Or do you just maybe like kind of try and move on while you can't? Maybe you could get something for him if you brought someone in.
It'll be tempting.
It'll be interesting.
You'll have to find a replacement, but they save $16 million if they cut or trade him. And I think I wouldn't cut him. I think that
no, you could trade him.
It's worth $16 million, but the trade conversation should be real.
Definitely.
The other thing they can do though is extend him. And if they extend him 2 more years,
restructure.
Keep him. Yep. And then pushes some money back, and so you can save some money right now. But I do. Something's gonna happen there.
I
doubt
so
he
too.
Just plays out the season. I bet it's either an extension or they trade him.
Yeah, and then I mean we're seeing some really talented centers. The Oregon guy was.
Is that Forsyth?
God.
No.
Roche.
Jackson.
He's the Broncos now.
Power Johnson.
That's right. That's last year. My bad.
I'm going to try. Yeah, Jackson Powers Johnson. Good job, Greg.
Yeah.
Look at you.
All three? You went 3 for 3 on
he
that?
Went 3 for 3.
Jackson Powers Johnson. Nice.
I assumed that was going to be like
that's
the
like
Drake
getting an eagle on the golf course.
Yeah. It is. Left-handed.
Jackson Powers Johnson. He looks awesome.
Yeah, he looked good, man.
He really looks good.
That's the tough part for the Broncos, though. Like, obviously, Lloyd Cushenberry's contract up. I don't know that you go to the draft without that addressed, though. You know?
Yeah.
It's almost tougher to get a rookie now when... I guess you have Forsyth. You have Luke Wattenberg.
Yeah, and
so
I
you're
mean,
not empty there, but...
If they're just not going to be good, and, like, instead of... drafting a guy, it's like kind of a journeyman, you know, Stidham competing with, you know, Jimmy G is kind of generic journeyman, you know, and it's that kind of deal for a year before. Then it's like, well, whatever. I mean, Hank could play center at that point.
Yep.
I don't care.
Why not?
Yeah, why not?
Honestly, might be better. Get up the draft board for next year.
Do you like your chances better at long snapper or center?
Oh, long snapper by a mile.
Yeah,
I've actually...
Right.
You know, it is tough because, like, it's tougher to hit the target, obviously.
Uh-huh.
Like, just handing the ball to your ass is, like, not difficult at all.
Totally.
But when you got to get the ball, like, 14 yards, it's tricky. I actually spent some time with the Broncos long snapper.
Uh-huh.
There's, like, longsnap.com will do long snapper rankings.
No Whoa. Way.
Yeah,
I
yeah.
Love
no,
it.
There's, like, because I asked him, I was, like, how it was when they're doing the top 100 voting. And so somebody, one of the defensive linemen put him on there as, like, a joke. I was like, well, how would you even know who's good? And he went like into it. And he's like, there's these three websites who like track everything, rank everything, college and pro. I spent some time on longsnap.com. Turns out Broncos have a pretty good long snapper.
There's some really famous trainer. I'm trying to remember his. I know who you're talking about. There's some famous trainer dude who all the college kids go to. And he like shares. It's kind of like specialists are really funny because like there's not a kicking prospect out there that's not a five-star kicker, five-star punter, because they get their own rating system from specialists, and it's like, oh, I'm a five-star kicker, and you look and it's like, oh, but their only offer is Eastern Coffeeville Community College, so
exactly
what checks.
Buffs have had some five stars.
Wow.
I think Jace, save the DJ stuff?
Jace Feely, I think, was a five-star.
We'll save the DJ
kicker.
Stuff. We'll have more Senior Bowl takeaways and what have you. With the game in the books and the third practice in the books, and then, I mean, we're in full swing. I think we need to start previewing positions and doing the thing. Hank, thank you for joining us. Of course, catch Hank every day or almost on the Broncos pod.
Mm-hmm.
Jakester here, heating up with recruiting and hoop season on the Buff side. And J-Mike here on the Rams. We're about to go live here in 15 minutes, yeah? So stay tuned. Thanks for tuning in. Appreciate it. Leave us a thumbs up. Share the link with your people. Tell them it's draft season and the boys aren't playing around this year. And thank you, as always, to Natures of Colorado for presenting this here pod. We shall be back next week. Bye.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.